This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. And as we welcome you back, of course, week zero rear view, but here comes week one college football to discuss. We bring in Kyle Hunter. You can find Kyle Hunter on Twitter at Kyle Hunter Picks. Does a great job talking college football. Big fan of his work. And we say hi to Kyle. Hi, Kyle. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for joining. We're going to get to a bunch here, including you asked a question to your Twitter followers, your favorite single season win total college football play of the year. I want to ask you the same question, but first tell us, you got a really cool free college football pick'em contest going on.
Yeah, I got a cool free contest here this year. ATS plays, you pick 10 per week for the entire regular season. You get one week that's a money ball, so it counts twice. Details and links to this contest are in my pinned post over at Twitter or X at Kyle Hunter Picks. Up to $500 for first place, $150 per second, depending on how many signups there are. $450 a minimum in cash, regardless of signups. No strings attached, nothing wrong with that, just for fun. So I'm looking forward to that this season.
Yeah, go get involved. Kyle Hunter Picks. You can sign up for free. Okay, now I'll ask you, Kyle, your favorite single season win total in college football this year. Let's start there.
Well, I'll tell you, some of these have moved. So I think my favorite, UTSA over 7.5. I know that's a little difficult to get at this point. I do like over 8. I think the Roadrunners are undervalued. I'll give you one that I know hasn't moved off that number as well, too. I like Penn State over 9.5. I think the Nittany Lions are a bit undervalued by some people and will likely win one of those two games against Ohio State or Michigan.
Hey, let's stay on that play there for Penn State over 9.5, Kyle. To me, I look at the schedule, even if they drop both games to Ohio State and Michigan, I don't see much of a scenario where they lose to the other anybody else in the other 10 games. Do you see anybody that's a legitimate challenger against them outside of Michigan and Ohio State?
Well, they're going to be a significant favorite in every other game. So obviously anything can happen in college football, but I think that they have a really good shot at winning all the rest of their other games. So the way I look at it is they have a over 50% chance of winning one of those two games against Michigan or Ohio State. And then you got that buffer. So I do like Penn State. I think their defense is much better than people realize. The secondary is excellent every single year. The front seven is even better this year. So I think Penn State could really make some noise. I think, their odds are probably a bit too long even to win the Big Ten.
Kyle, Nebraska, Minnesota coming up Thursday night. Yesterday we sat here. It was Minnesota pretty much everywhere, 7.5. The hook is gone. It's now Minnesota hosting Nebraska 7. Where are you on this one?
So I think the question is, how much of an upgrade do you think it is when Matt Rhule takes over at Nebraska? It has to be an upgrade. We know that. The question is how much. Rhule has been great as an underdog, 32-15 against the spread as an underdog with an average ATS margin of plus 5.02 points. So he's done great in this role. It's first game for them, certainly. I think there are some question marks about, Minnesota. They lost quite a bit of talent from last year. Rossi's a defensive wizard, so he usually does a great job with that defense no matter what. I would expect Minnesota to still run the football a lot. They're a very run-heavy, slow-paced team. The wind could be an issue in this game. I see 18 miles per hour sustained winds, gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. Clear positive for the under. I like the under the best in this one. If I had to bet a side, I would lean toward Nebraska at the points. I think there's, getting a full touchdown, and definitely prefer it with the hook, but getting a full touchdown with a game with this low of a total is definitely the way I would lean. Certainly Nebraska has question marks as well. Their defense is not great. They do have pretty good depth in the secondary, and I like Tony White taking over. I think that 3-3-5 will help out.
Oregon State plays San Jose State on Sunday. Two-part question here. Tell us a little bit about how you break this game down. And then the second question is, a team having played the previous Saturday compared to other teams that have not played, we saw 6 games over the weekend or 7 games last weekend. How much of an advantage is that potentially going into this, what is officially week one?
Yeah, I think it's an advantage, but some people overstate how big the advantage is the way I would say it. San Jose State's a good team as far as well-coached. Brent Brennan, I give him a pass for last year's tough finish. They had the tragedy in the middle of the season with the player passing away. He's certainly a very good coach. In this game, the question mark is, can San Jose State stop the Oregon State run? Because Oregon State wants to run the football. They have a great offensive line. very underrated by most people. Jonathan Smith has covered against the spread very well, 28-12 against the spread in his last 40 games. Now, the problem with this is, and you guys know, you start covering this many spreads, it's almost like a point spread tax. It's going to be tough to bet this team laying that many points. As San Jose State loses 56-28 last week, they gained 6.0 yards per play in that one. So was that more about San Jose State's offense being good or USC still having trouble on defense? You know, time will tell on that. I do think Cordero is a solid quarterback, though. Nick Nash turned into a nice receiver. He had 3 touchdowns in that game. Oregon State's defense was good last year. Spates is a big loss for them. They lost a lot from the secondary. I think Oregon State runs the football pretty easily in this game with Fenwick and Martinez. Big day for them. I think both teams have improved offensively and gotten worse defensively. I like the over in this game.
Like that call there. Patrick, one of the things I like that Kyle mentioned is the offensive line for Oregon State. I think outside of Georgia, you can make the argument this offensive line is almost as good as anyone in college football. But with Uiagalelei under center, Patrick, I think you're going to see a lot of opportunities on 3rd and short and 4th and short for this offense to continue to sustain drives because of his size and pushing behind that O-line. We saw them do that with the tight end last year, lining up in the H-back position.
Yeah, Oregon State's going to be a badass this year. Let's stick with the Pac-12. Kyle Hunter picks on Twitter. It's a must-follow if you like college football and betting it. Who do you like in the Pac-12? I'll ask you the same question we asked Max Brown. Give me your top three, your power rankings for the Pac-12.
Oh, geez. I mean, Pac-12-wise, you have to put USC up there. This Pac-12 is very interesting this year. I think UCLA is a sleeper team. Certainly not a team I rank as high, but I would put USC first in the Pac-12. Second, I have Washington. So Pac-12-wise, I have Washington second, Utah third. Now, Utah would be second, but I don't know about the status of Cam Rising. You know, Kyle Whittingham's an excellent coach, a guy I like to back way more than I like to fade. The problem is Kyle Whittingham's not really going to give too much information about Rising's ability or status at this point. I can't really blame them.
When you look at the USC team, how good do you think this defense can be, and what can we take away from week one that we can maybe apply to the rest of the season, if anything?
Man, I tell you, it should be better. On paper, it should definitely be far better than last year. I don't love what I saw last week because it wasn't just San Jose State moving the football in garbage time. You know, San Jose State was moving the ball well right from the beginning of that game. Scheme-wise, it seems like they're a bit too plain there at USC, and I know Grinch gets a lot of grief, and I can kind of understand that at this point. So we'll see what they do scheme-wise to see if they can switch it up, help things out, because the talent they have is far better than what they've shown on the field.
I'll ask you the same question, Kyle, about Notre Dame. You know, they play that 3-game stretch is going to be brutal later in the season. But what you saw from Notre Dame, again, it's against Navy, weird system. But what did you take from Notre Dame moving forward?
Well, it's hard to not like Notre Dame after what you saw there, right? I mean, that was a tremendous performance. I think Hardman is such a big upgrade over what they've had the past few years at quarterback. I think especially Drew Pine really was not very good last year. You know, this Notre Dame system on offense is going to be far more scary with a downfield passing threat. They don't have great wide receivers, which I think could show itself in some of their bigger games more. You know, against Navy, you don't really need that big playmaker on the outside. But I do think Notre Dame, I like their direction as a team. I think Marcus Freeman's a good coach. He'll do a good job recruiting. So, yeah, Notre Dame's a team that I would like to bet as an underdog. You know, they'll be a dog at least a couple times here.
Kyle, before you came on, we were talking about potential national champions. Give us some teams that you think legitimately can win the national title this year.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question because most years there's only, you know, 4, 5, 6 teams that you think really have a legit chance. I don't like betting those favorites and things like that. You know, I don't want to lock up my money in a long term for a future. Now, as far as ones that I actually think have a legit chance, obviously Georgia is the favorite for a reason. I hate to go against a team like Alabama when everybody's doubting them. A team that I think could do it that is not rated as highly by some people is Texas. And I'll tell you what, you know, I almost have to duck when I say Texas because we've bought into Texas several years in a row, and Texas has not been back, as people would say. I think they're Texas, but they can't have a really good run this year. When are they going to do it? You know, this is a team that has no real weaknesses. I could see a team like Texas sneaking in there into the playoffs and having a shot. also could see Penn State, like we said earlier, as another team that could have a shot.
Okay. Now, you mentioned, I want to get to another bet that you have here on your sheet. We're talking to Kyle Hunter. Kyle Hunter picks on Twitter. NC State UConn coming up Thursday. Looks like UConn's catching 14.5 hosting NC State.
Yeah, this is a really fantastic game, in my opinion. Yeah, UConn's going to try to pack up the house pretty good for this one. Brennan Armstrong comes over for NC State. Armstrong had a terrible year last year. I think that was far more about Virginia and Tony Elliott than it was about Brennan Armstrong. The NC State defense did lose a lot from last year. I think they're still a pretty good unit. I think UConn might have found a decent quarterback there in Fagnano, the transfer. So I know UConn has a really good ground game. It's underrated how well their offensive line played last year. Teams knew they couldn't throw last year. They still averaged 4.73 yards per carry. I think they stall this game, try to make it as few possessions as they possibly can. I would be looking toward UConn plus the points here in this game.
Okay, Kyle, great job. It's great to talk to you. We'll talk to you during the regular season as well. Now, remember, if you want to get involved in the free college football pick'em contest, it's easy to find. It's pinned at the top at Kyle Hunter Picks. Thank you, Kyle. Great job. Appreciate you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go. Kyle Hunter, good get by the big guy. I believe Kyle, I don't know if Kyle, you met Kyle on Friday night on your wild excursion at Circa. No, he's smiling. He's not.
He's a respectable person. He does not. Go
I know
to
he
safe
did.
Places.
You did some networking that night. So we're going to have somebody named Svetlana talking about Michigan football coming up next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with GBank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly onto your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app downloads every time and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/vsin. That's g.bank/vsin. We got you back here. Got plenty to do. It's Berkey Tuesday. Adam Burke coming up in 44 minutes. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Amal Shaw. Dustin Sweetelson. This is Sharp Money. It's vsin, the Esports Betting Network. So we welcome you back. I just heard somebody smashing rackets over at the U.S. Open. What's the update on that, Amal?
Yeah, right now, I'm going to mispronounce the Frenchman's name. Mottois, he just absolutely had an opportunity to close out the second set against Murray, but, you know, since he missed a shot, he figured it's the racket's fault.
Must be. Okay, let's go three-point stance NFL news for the day. Of course, led by the big guy here, the Indianapolis Colts. So this is just coming down right now. You can fill in the gaps. I'll just read the tweet from Diana Russini, because why not? The Indianapolis Colts are keeping running back Jonathan Taylor on the PUP list. Remember, the PUP list is you're out for the first 4 weeks per league sources. That means even if he's traded, he will miss the first four games of the season. So it does feel like Ursay and the Colts displaying some bitterness here with Jonathan Taylor. Remember last week, or maybe it was 10 days ago now, they said, all right, go ahead, find a trade. Obviously, he's a running back. It's 2023. Nobody's trading for him. I mean, duh. So he comes back as like, yeah, couldn't find a trade. What's cracking? They're like, not much. You're not playing for us. So go sit. So then even if he were to get traded and somebody gets desperate and he can't play in the first four games. So correct me if I'm wrong, fellas. This sounds like bitter grapes from the Colts. And it sounds like they're doing something to kind of preclude Taylor from thriving. Am I reading it correctly, Dustin?
Yeah, I mean, Schefter went on to add that they didn't think they were getting a fair value offer. But, like, is there a such thing anymore? Like, when you're in a situation like this and a
what
player,
is the value?
Player's trying to get out. Well, that's a valid point, too. What is the value for a running back, even if it is a great running back? You're right.
It's not a first-round pick that they want because teams are not drafting running backs in the first round. So I don't understand how you can expect to get that in return. But – you know, to me, at some point in time, if you're Jonathan Taylor, if you're running backs, you've got to make the prudent decision and you don't go the Le'Veon Bell route. We saw it impacted his career financially and just in terms of performance. Taylor's been a great top five running back the last couple of years, but now missing the first four games, Patrick, I think makes it much more difficult to potentially trade him. You're looking at a team now that's got his services that are reduced. Do you make a positive argument that, hey, he doesn't have to play the full 17, we get him for 13 games, maybe the health and wear and tear benefits?
Yeah, it's not great either way. So now if Taylor were to get traded, wouldn't be available until week five for the team that he's traded to.
Yeah.
Anything else around the story, Dustin, before we move on?
Well, the win total set at 6.5. It's juiced minus 20 to the over. So I was a little bit higher than most people on the Colts, but that was factoring the fact that Anthony Richardson in his first year would have an elite running back with him. Now all of a sudden you look at the schedule – and you're going to miss your best offensive weapon on a division game against Jacksonville at Houston, which could have been a winnable game. You don't know. Now it seems less likely to be winnable without Taylor. Then you're at Baltimore. You're definitely not winning that game. And then you have the Rams. Like, in order to go over that win total, you probably have to win the Rams in Houston, right?
There's no question about it.
As much as I devalue the position, this is the guy that could really help Anthony Richardson because of the workload.
Yes.
Remember, completely healthy in 2021, he had 332 carries. That's probably something you'd want to help a 21-year-old rookie quarterback out with as far as attempts by a good running back. Last year, 192 carries, but banged up for Jonathan Taylor. Healthy, you would think, although on the pup. So 6.5. Now, again, you're higher on this team than we were. But 6.5, you're going to pay juice to get to seven wins with a team that I don't see four wins. I mean, I'll put it this way. Don't see five.
Well, yeah.
Definitely don't see six.
The only way it worked, the only way it worked to me, the only way I could convince myself that it made sense was that they were going to run this run-based system using Richardson's legs as much as possible, and it would make them tough to defend. And by setting it up with Richardson being able to run, with Taylor being able to run, similar to how Jalen Hurts was introduced in Philadelphia, that would open up throwing opportunities. You don't have Taylor, you don't have a way to establish the run with someone other than Anthony Richardson, then I hate this team. Then they're going to be unwatchable.
Real quick before we move on, Dustin, what did you think their record within the division would be if they're going to get to seven wins or six and a half?
I went game by game. I thought they'd win at Houston. I thought they'd beat the Rams. I think Tennessee's the most overrated team, that they could win one of those games potentially. But let's say they win one of them. I think they had a chance at Carolina. That's another team starting a rookie quarterback. Who the heck knows what we're getting from New England? They have Tampa Bay. That's win number five. And then down the stretch, they have Atlanta and Houston, two of their last three games, plus Las Vegas. So I think Atlanta, Vegas, and Houston was a good way, if you bet the over, that you had a good chance to close it out there with three horrible teams. Yes, I said Atlanta.
I mean, again, the division is obviously the reason, like you both said, for the 6.5. I'm kind of hedging here because I don't see a lot of wins. I just don't see a quarterback that at Florida. Now, who do we have on yesterday that said, it was Doreen, said that he didn't think that he was used. It's weird. Doreen was jockeying Napier on one side. He's the right guy to run this program. But then on the other side, he said he didn't do well by Anthony Richardson. Isn't that what you guys took from it?
No, you're absolutely.
Remember? He was like, yeah, I love Billy Napier at Florida, but Anthony Richardson was definitely not used correctly at Florida. Like, wait, what? Those aren't mutually exclusive, right? Like, shouldn't Napier know exactly what to do with one of the big talents we've seen come through the game?
I would agree with you, and I get where Doring's coming from. I think when you look at certain players, you try to make them something they're not. To me, I look at Richardson as a guy that you could have used like a Vince Young and a Terrell Pryor, a guy who has the ability to run the ball and be incredibly effective and bigger and stronger than both of those guys. I think Florida could have run him a lot more than they did. I think there were times where they kind of let him drop back and just throw the ball, and you'd see some very errant throws.
It'll be interesting. Steichen, listen, he's had a track record with a quarterback like this, obviously, in Jalen Hurts. Be interesting. He's so young. Hurts came into the league more mature, obviously, with more experience, and he's just not accurate. We shall see. Maybe they set up a system for him that really takes advantage of his skill set, and Indianapolis does get to that seven if you want to go over and pay the $1.20. Okay, what else is going on, big guy?
Well, you know, there was a franchise last year that people thought they had two quarterbacks, which meant they had no quarterbacks, and now they have let go of one of those quarterbacks. The New England Patriots have waived Bailey Zappe. There will not be any drama at that position unless you think Malik Cunningham is about to challenge Mac Jones?
I don't have much to add. I thought Bailey Zappe was exactly who we thought he was. You know, a guy who put up numbers at Western Kentucky, had one good game, and all of a sudden people thought this guy was the second coming of Mac Jones, but it's about it.
They cut Zappe?
They cut Zappe.
When did that? Am I missing this?
No, just happened.
Oh, just now. Yeah. I swear to you.
12 minutes
ago.
I thought that was
Belichick's boy.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought there was something with, like, everything I kept reading was that he prefers Zappe, but Kraft preferred Jones. Again, you have to be careful with what you read, but I'm a little shocked by this cut. I'm trying to think along the same lines of who's been released. Colt McCoy getting released we announced it here on Sharp Money yesterday. Not necessarily shocking because he's 37 years old and we already know what the ceiling is for Colt McCoy. And they want to see what they have with the kid from Florida. Want to see what they have. Obviously in Arizona, it's not a season they want to win. Were there any other names that stood out to the two of you as far as somebody getting cut that was a surprise?
Not surprises, but like interesting. So Arizona waived defensive tackle Rashard Lawrence. He's the guy who started 13 of 25 games that he's appeared in since entering the league in 2020. He's had a bunch of tackles. He's like a decent player. And to me, it just signaled more of the tank. Like, we don't want productive players on the roster if they're questionable. So get them off the roster. And honestly, it benefits him. And it benefits them because the tank is fully on in Arizona.
I thought that was the move with the McCoy cutting yes. or releasing him, because you've got a situation now. Let's be real here. You can get Caleb Williams or Drake May. And if you think Kyler Murray's still the guy, then you can potentially get your next Larry Fitzgerald and Marvin Harrison Jr. So if you're Arizona, you know you're not making the playoffs. It's time to go for that first or second pick in the draft.
Don't accidentally win us a game or two that we don't want to win.
Is that 3.5 now? So DraftKings dropped it a full game from 4.5 down to 3.5. Over is $1.45 on the juice. All right. They must have been getting hammered. I don't know. I guess Colt McCoy would be a difference.
Yeah, he could win a game.
Because of the experience. Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. Interesting. So the Arizona Cardinals over at DraftKings down to 3.5. Go ahead, Dustin.
Another player was released. I just can't believe he has been – I know injuries played a role in it, but he's just completely fallen off. Panthers released linebacker Deion Jones. Deion Jones was a stud in the middle of the Atlanta defense, and he just...
Like 3 years ago?
Yeah, but like he's still not old or anything. I don't know what happened to him.
He's
so
fast.
He's so athletic. I don't get it. Also, Malcolm Butler meeting with the Falcons. I think he's there to challenge Desmond Ridder for QB1.
Well played. The hatred continues. That is going to be a theme this year. Ohio State has a quarterback. Kevin Noon will discuss next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
The updated NFL betting guide will be released this Thursday. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSIN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide will have picks from every on-air host, including Dustin Sweetelson. Team-specific preseason analysis. Smile, big guy. How to use the VSIN betting splits and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, look, you can start for $19. I would encourage you to get over there and do the yearly through the Super Bowl for 50% off. Okay, it's VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, we do have a starter in Columbus. Ohio State has announced that Kyle McCord is going to start, though, as Ryan Day said, Devin Brown will play against Indiana. Let's unpack this. Let's find out what's happening there in Columbus. Kevin Noon joins us, writer and host, BuckeyeHuddle.com. Very popular, very good if you're into Ohio State football, at Kevin_Noon, and we say hi to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. I'll start here. Let's start with the players. Explain to us Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. Differences, similarities? Why don't we start with the two quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think everybody, when they hear about a quarterback battle, expects them to be completely different, and one guy's a pocket passer and one guy's a dual threat. Both of these guys are pretty similar. There are some differences. Kyle McCord is a year older. He was teammates with Marvin Harrison Jr. in high school. He has one start. He started against Akron in 2021 when C.J. Stroud was nursing a sore shoulder. He is more of your drop-back passer, whereas Devin Brown, who's a year younger, five-star, who split time between Arizona and Utah during the prep ranks, maybe a little bit more of a runner. Is he Lamar Jackson out there running? No, he's not. But he's a little bit more of a runner. But I think if you're an Ohio State fan or just a fan of football in general, everybody remembers C.J. Stroud and the label of him being kind of an unwilling runner. Both of these guys are very capable of running the ball. They both have big arms. They can make all the throws. You know, it's a lot of pressure to put on guys that have one and zero starts. But from what we've seen out of them, I don't really think there are a lot of throws that they can't make. So more similarities than differences.
Kevin, when you look at the two quarterbacks right now, is it a situation where both guys have played great and they can't tell the difference, or neither guy has really performed at an elite level that's been able to separate themselves?
I think it's a level of consistency. I think that 1 week or from practice to practice, or maybe even series to series, one guy is a little better than the other one, and then lo and behold, the other guy's a little bit better. But, you know, call me a skeptic. I think that there's something, too, about just trying to keep everybody engaged. And if you shut this thing down 2 months ago, do you potentially run the risk of losing focus of the guy who doesn't get the starting job? I think that it is a good position for Ohio State to be in terms of having two guys that are very capable of being the starter, especially with Ryan Day's track record with first-year quarterbacks at Ohio State. So I don't look at it as, well, nobody was able to just take the job. Nobody was that impressive. I think both were impressive, and it was just a matter of trying to find the consistency and find somebody to just rise up and shut the door on the other guy finally.
Kevin Noone joins us here, Sharp Money, BuckeyeHuddle.com, at Kevin_Noone. So my co-host here, Amal Shaw, is a Buckeye as well, and we were talking earlier about the overall talent on this year's squad. Let's separate the quarterbacks, Kevin, and you fill in the blank. This Ohio State team is how talented?
I think this Ohio State team is very talented. I think the big concerns, and I think any Buckeye fan will be able to sit there and say this, it's going to come down to what the offensive line is going to be able to do with three new starters on the line. I think that it's going to come down to, will this defense be more of the model of what year three Jim Knowles looked like at Oklahoma State versus what year one Jim Knowles looked like at Ohio State or Oklahoma State? Will those explosive plays go down from 3, 4, or 5 a game to 2, 1, or 0? And I think that there's a lot more familiarity within the system. I think you have a team that has a lot of talent coming back. I mean, obviously, they're key departures that we mentioned. You lose C.J. Stroud, who's QB1 at Houston. You lose three linemen who did very well in the NFL preseason. But the pieces are there. And I know that right now, reading a lot of the predictions, have Michigan ahead of Ohio State in terms of the Big Ten. But if you sit there and you get into the analytics and you look at SP+ and some of these other things, it really likes Ohio State. And I tend to agree with the analytics.
Kevin, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. We know what JT Tuimoloau is capable of doing. Jack Sawyer was also a big-time recruit, necessarily hasn't lived up to the hype yet. How good can this pass rush be, including guys like Tyleek Williams?
I think it could be really good. I think we're going to see a little bit of a philosophy change. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a, let's stop the run first, and then everything else will sort itself out. People got spoiled through the years with having Bosa, Young all go through the Ohio State defensive line. And when you have three generational players in less than a decade, essentially, there's something to be said about that. So, yeah, I think there are some disappointments that Ohio State has not had more sacks. I think the number was 34 last year, if I recall correctly. But I think that they're going to do a better job of getting to the quarterback. And a name that I would mention right there with Tuimoloau and with Sawyer is keep an eye on Kenyatta Jackson, who has really been coming on. I think he's going to kind of be that third end for Ohio State. I think that he's going to be somebody we're going to be talking about in a big way come the end of the season.
How good is the wide receiver Harrison Jr.? We've seen so many great wide receivers come through as of late at Ohio State. How good is he, Kevin?
I was just talking about this with some people just the other night, and my days with Ohio State go all the way back to, heck, Joey Galloway. And I've seen some great ones come through, the David Bostons of the world, Michael Thomas. I mean, certainly the crew right now that, you know, goes all the way up to Jackson Smith and Jigba going to Seattle. But Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, is really the rare combination of being just a technician out there running his routes, has a great catch radius, has a great understanding of the game. You go back to the Georgia game and the Peach Bowl, they really had no answer for him whatsoever. I think that he is going to be kind of the standard bearer of what the Ohio State receiver room is, which is kind of crazy when you just look at the recent success that they've had over the last couple of years of putting guys into the National Football League.
Tailback position loaded there. Trevion Henderson, Mayan Williams, Evan Pryor, Dallin Hayden, Chip Traynham. Kind of give us the rotation of the top three here and who's going to get the bulk of the carries potentially on Saturday against Indiana.
I think I would expect to see Trevion Henderson be one and Mayan Williams be two. We had the opportunity to talk to Ryan Day today at the Woody Hayes facility, and that's what it kind of sounded like there. Chip Traynham, let's not forget, he did play running back at Arizona State, came to Ohio State as a linebacker. Injury necessity moved him back to running back. So he's probably your third, and then I would say then it would be maybe Dallin Hayden and then Evan Pryor, who Pryor's really been dealing with injury since getting to Ohio State after redshirting his first year. But I would probably say, you know, Ohio State really rides the hot hand, but if I had to predict it, I'd say 65-35 in terms of snaps between Trevion Henderson and Mayan Williams.
If I was in Columbus and I talked to Ohio State fans about Ryan Day, what would they say? 45-6, this is year five. He hasn't lost but the two losses to Michigan in consecutive years. What's the conversation about Day?
He better beat Michigan would be the discussion. That's what I hear all the time. And people will be quick to point out that the six losses, when you look at them, they've been against teams that have been equal in talent to Ohio State, and most of those 45 wins have been against teams that Ohio State probably rolls out of bed and is just better than. So there's a division amongst the fans in terms of how they feel about that Michigan series and where it is. Sure, it was great that Ohio State was a 50-yard field goal attempt away from going to the national championship game, and you know, we can play the what-if game. I think Ohio State wins pretty easily against TCU, maybe not to the extent that Georgia did, but I think that Ohio State would have won a national championship last year if they would have made that field goal. But there's still going to be the people who are like, well, that's still not good enough. If that bingo card does not include a win against Michigan, it's all for naught. So I think it's also a little bit of a generational divide. I think there are a lot of young fans that don't remember the lean years against Michigan and have kind of a skewed perspective of things, but I think all in all, everybody wants to see them get one over on Michigan this year and kind of stop the trend that is not going in the right direction.
I'm old enough to remember John Cooper, that's for sure. So it's been into Jim Tressel, who absolutely dominated Ann Arbor. Wow, what a great job. We needed that. Thank you very much, Kevin. That's exactly what we needed with the new quarterback there. Again, BuckeyeHuddle.com, Kevin Noon. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate you.
All right, take care, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, there he goes. Good booking by the big guy. Yeah, John Cooper. And Tressel came in. He was sitting in a gym somewhere, and he said the date.
He goes, in 310 days.
What a buster. Although, did he lose to Michigan?
No, he won. He lost one time to Michigan, 7-1.
It was quite a run. It was quite a run. More NFL news next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, NFL season right around the corner. Nonstop football action is in sight. You can get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app before kickoff. Use the code SHARP to get $200 and a bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SHARP. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Got your back, Sharp Money. Got Adam Burke coming up at the top of the hour in about 12 minutes. Plenty to do with Adam Burke. But first, we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. Mentioned Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to now pick up. I thought Kevin Noonan was great talking about the Ohio State football quarterback situation. You got a real sense outside of that that he's very bullish on this Ohio State team this year. You know, the win total, well, can you grab that for me? I'm sure you guys know it off the top of mind as far as the juice on the Ohio State team either.
10.5. I think some places were minus 140 or so, just depending on where you get that number.
Yep, 10.5. Okay. Actually, DK is minus 110.
Okay.
Just talking about the team, even the running back depth and defensively, you know, the get with the guy coming over from Oklahoma State, I'm going to botch his name, but immediate turnaround last year defensively where, you know, if you just look numerically, they got better in every position. Why am I forgetting his name?
First
name,
Jim Knowles.
Jim Knowles. I was going to say Kevin Knowles. But good. Okay. So, and then the question about Ryan Day is interesting because, you know, year five, and he's won 45. He's lost six games at Ohio State. But you heard what Kevin said, and that's why I said if I were talking to Ohio State fans there in Columbus, you know, the two straight losses to Michigan just don't fly because you're on equal footing. You probably have more talent than Michigan if we're being completely honest. It's a tough loss to Georgia in the semis. I mean, come on. You can't ding Day for that loss is the way I'd put it. John Cooper, the reason he was fired is because he wasn't beating Michigan consistently. In comes Jim Tressel. Tressel never lost to Michigan. He lost once in 10 years, I think. Yeah. You said.
9-1.
And then was only fired. He was only fired because of improprieties. At the time were improprieties, but now he probably would have kept his job because people are on the up and up and NILs are legit. What I mean by up and up, people are like, yeah, that's cool. Like, meaning it was, remember, Tressel era, we were still kind of like, oh, teams cheat. The naivete that still kind of surrounded the sport was very present. And now it's just like, Jim Tressel got hosed. He did it. You can speak to it better than anybody.
Oh, there's no question about it. Tattoo gate. And that's what took him down with Terrell Pryor. Devere Posey, the wide receiver, and a couple other guys getting busted for getting tattoos and other things. But the whole thing to me is a sham. It's funny. Look, I don't care if it's Ohio State, all these other programs, they all cheat to a certain extent. And the way they do it is maybe different today than it was 10, 15 years ago. It always cracks me up when I see people on websites or something. They're like, oh, Alabama doesn't cheat. I say, are you kidding me? They got the best car dealership program in America. Nobody's got a dealership program like that. Why do you think so many guys have stuck around? What they were paying those guys like Jonathan Allen and company, insanity. Bama's got one of the best programs in terms of keeping guys around.
Yeah, I think there is a point of diminution. I don't know how to say it. Like Alabama has become such a juggernaut. Now I think they're on almost like a hot club where it keeps going up and up until it reaches its apex. I do think we're on that other side of the Bama apex as far as just generationally new kids coming in, not thinking Alabama was what Alabama was 3 to 5 years ago. Perception wise. Are you guys cool with that assumption or assertion?
Yeah, eventually the Copacabana, you know, flipped and had to close down.
Well, the bookmakers still don't understand. They've got Bama as the second betting favorite to win the national title. There's about seven teams I'd take before Alabama.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I would agree with seven stretch, but I think I agree with you.
I think
they're overvalued. I guess what I'm trying to say is Saban, during that peak of perception, could get away with doing less shady stuff just because of the perception and the actual just going there meant more than anything for those kids, right?
You didn't have to do it for everyone.
Exactly.
Right.
You said it better than I could. That's what I was trying to get out.
By the way, I'll justify my seven real quick. Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia, LSU, Florida State, Clemson, and USC.
There's a lot of questions. First time we've had questions about Alabama in a very long time.
Especially a quarterback.
And he's, by the way, have you seen him? Have you seen him at all in the offseason doing press conferences, Saban? He's very loose. He's joking around. He's doing shtick at the podium.
Oh, that means it's going to be a down year.
That's either it's going to be a down year.
Terrible year.
Or he thinks that, like, everyone's just – I think it's more he's just trying to loosen everyone up.
No, rat poison Saban is the Saban those in Tuscaloosa want, meaning – when he's rat poison and he's constantly on edge and pissed off about everything, he knows his team is a freaking juggernaut.
Right.
When he's happy, he's already given up.
By the way, the dictator, better known as Nick Saban. I can't stand the way he treats the media down there. They have no choice, right? They have to acquiesce because they're covering the Crimson Tide. It's such a joke. I mean, he might as well handpick and have them submit the questions written out on paper.
Couldn't I use your same theory about Greg Popovich, who you came back at me with? Well, if you ask smart questions, he'll be cool to you. He's just consistently mean and degrading and condescending to people.
Yeah, he wasn't that way with the local market as much, but you're not wrong in what you're saying. But in Saban's case, these guys are like, listen, the entire state outside of that small pocket that follows War Eagle, they're all worried about the Crimson Tide. They're just like happy to be on the beat.
Did you guys see, by the way, did you guys see Popovich at, it was a Hall of Fame induction?
No.
Okay. Hey, maybe after the show, go back and watch. His shtick is so whack now, where he kind of got mad at the person coming to say, hey, or telling him it was time to wrap up the speech. He now is turned into like almost a parody. You know what I mean? Popovich, where it's like the way he treats those mid-game interviews. It's like, just quit. Just, dude, you have so much money. Don't do it. Don't be involved in this whole thing we call the human experiment. Because it's not that hard. It's not that hard just to answer Michelle Nichols or whatever the hell her name is. It's not that hard to be like, hey, listen, they're playing good defense. Well, I hope we can pull it together. I don't know who Michelle Nichols is. I'm just saying whoever's at the halftime, shout to Craig Sager. I mean, it's not that hard just to give a very basic response and then move on with your day. To constantly have your ego jump in front of humanistic behavior is insanity.
I don't disagree with a lot of what Patrick just said. However, having been in thousands of press conferences, I'll tell you right now, 90% of these people should be ejected for the stupidity of questions. I'm not saying I'm not guilty of asking stupid questions, but Patrick, if you listen to some of these questions, it is absolutely asinine.
Why
what these
do you
ask.
Always get involved in industry where you surround yourself with the stupidest people in the world?
Because I want to look smart.
Because all I ever hear
I
from
be
you is your coworkers are always the dumbest people ever, including me and Dustin, I'm sure, has said when we're not around. Everybody,
if I thought that, I would say that to you.
No chance you would. If you thought that I was stupid, you would never say that to my face. No chance. Never. I'm just telling you right now, that would never happen.
No, if I had a contract, oh, sure, I got no qualms with it.
You would walk up to me and be like, listen, bro, I've been working with you. I just want to let you know I don't respect you and I think you're stupid.
If I thought that, sure, why not? I've said it about a lot of other people that work here.
Because, again, back to Popovich, we're all a part of the human experiment. Why would you want to treat somebody that way?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with calling a spade a spade. Why tell somebody somebody who's dumb? Why tell them they're smart? If a guy's 5'3", unless you're Muggsy Bogues, you're probably not playing in the NBA.
Fair enough. Feel free. It's not going to offend me. I promise. But I'm telling you, the Popovich, and I agree with you about Saban. Just say maybe with Saban, it's such a small town that it just kind of feeds itself. And I think they may like it at this point. It's like if Saban came in like, hey guys, what's going on? It'd be like, that's boring. Like it kind of plays itself. You guys know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And also let's be real. Those reporters represent a fan base that is super obnoxious, very entitled. And when you look at like, there's a lot of like runs in college football where like they're not heard from, but they act like they are the elite of the elite all the time through the course of college football history. It's always the Crimson Tide, but really they disappear for large chunks and decades.
You're not wrong in their disappearance, but the one thing I'll defend with the Alabama fan base and a lot of people that support some of these teams, it kind of ties into their identity, right? A lot of people probably work in jobs that they can't stand.
Well, there's nothing else to do in Tuscaloosa. I've been there many times.
Yeah, well,
you go to Milo's for a burger and sweet tea so many times.
They hate their job. They're kind of their identity's tied to what the Crimson Tide have done. Maybe they didn't have necessarily the success they want in their personal life. And this team has been incredibly successful. And they kind of tied to that. I'm telling you right now, you see it in Southern Ohio all the time with the Buckeyes. It's the same thing.
I know. I'm just thinking about everybody in Tuscaloosa. My personal life stinks. I hate my job. It's just like all
you don't.
We got.
Wait a second. Hold on. So you don't think 80% of people that work jobs hate the jobs they work?
Oh, I totally agree with you.
Oh, I subscribe to right in this moment, right now.
Hey, you know what'll make it better? Adam Burke, and he's going to join us next. I'm just saying, Nick, just answer the questions. It's not that. And mostly it's Popovich, because Popovich is just like, my gosh, so abrasive. Anyway, when we return, we haven't talked about, did you guys see what happened? Acuna Jr. is minus 130. Yeah. Now Mookie Betts is even money in the NL. We'll do a little baseball and get into football with Adam Burke next here at Sharp Money.